Hello and welcome to another edition of Face to Face. This time I am joined by head of the French delegation visiting Iran, Mr. Philip Marini, Senator and Chairman of the Finance Commission of the French Senate. Thank you very much for joining us, sir.
Thank you very much, Mr. Senator. First, I'd like to know what is the purpose of your visit to Iran.
Chaque année, la commission des finances du Sénat que je préside fait le choix d'un voyage d'études.
Every year, the Senate committee that I preside over, which is the Finance Committee, travels to certain country. Last year, we went to the United States to observe the relation between the President and the Congress with respect to budget issues, and also to work on the notion of reciprocating between France and Europe and the U.S. within the framework of controlling the banks and transferring the information in the financial domain. This year, we decided to come to Iran. Now, why Iran? Well, because in 2014, there are very important things happening. There is a very important opportunity, which is the Geneva process. We are in the transition period, and as you know, the deadline is the 20th of July. And first, we want to see for ourselves how Iran sees this process and what is their point of view regarding this process, and therefore hold talks with high-ranking officials in different sections of the Iranian government. On the other hand, we want to erase the images that journalists in the West have created of Iran, which are often negative images. So we decided that in a year which is important for the evolution of Iran and the Near East, to come to Iran to touch the reality rather than watch images.
Nous souhaitons toucher du doigt la réalité plutôt que de regarder des images.
And what was your impression?
Eh bien, l'Iran est un pays extraordinaire.
Iran is a very young and active, I repeat that, young and active country. In Iran, there are a great number of enterprises with the highest technology. During the Iranian weekend, we went to Tabriz, and in front of the hotel, there was a park. And it was Friday night, so there were many families taking a walk around the park, some who were taking photos and some were picnicking, groups of young people together playing musical instruments. All this shows that we are in a society that is completely normal, modern, and it is by no means the quote-unquote sad Iran that is disconnected from the rest of the world and which is on its knees, the way it is usually depicted in Western media.
Qui serait à genoux et que l'on décrit souvent dans les médias occidentaux.
You've held meetings with many Iranian officials during your week-long visit. What are the prospects of Iran and France's economic relations?
Il y a une très longue tradition.
There is a very long tradition of partnership between Iran and France, particularly in the industrial domain. When I say long, well, you should know that we are very old nations, and this goes back more than 100 years, during the revolution in 1906, and when the first Iranian constitution was written. It was the French finance minister who came to Iran to help establish the new financial administration of this era and to modernize the country. And even closer to our time, after the war, during the previous regime and the current administration, the continuation of the industrial cooperation has allowed companies like Total and Peugeot to obtain shares of the Iranian markets that are extremely important. In Tehran, Isfahan, or any other big city in Iran, look around you and almost out of every two or three cars that pass by, one bears the brand name Peugeot. Even in Paris, the proportion is less. Well, this translates the Iranian market and our cooperation. I met with many Iranian engineers and entrepreneurs that have told me about the very good memories that they have of working with us, but obviously the economy is not based on memories. It's global today. There are many good opportunities in the energy sector and oil and gas exploration and infrastructure, or in agriculture, or luxury products, beauty products, which all together represent French know-how, aeronautics, and many other sectors that enterprises can take on the Iranian market when the conditions are met.
You've spent a week in Iran now. From what you've learned so far, do you believe that Iran can actually be a threat to the world?
When I look at Iran, and I have to tell you that I have come to Iran before on unofficial visits, what dominates is the big cities, and I would like to repeat, its modernity, its cleanliness, and high intellectual level of the middle class, the excellence of its universities, its the deepness of its intellectuals, whether religious or non-religious, and as I have come to know, this is the reality of Iran. I cannot imagine that these people, people who are young and proud and have great aspirations and who wish to live in peace as it seems with their neighbors, we've never heard of territorial disputes between Iran and its neighbors. What we need to understand really in the West is that changes in Iran happen when its people want something to be changed. And the threat, we in the West should remain by the side of those who take responsibilities. It's always more difficult to take responsibilities than to wait for things to happen. Now, I feel, and it's a personal feeling, that President Rouhani and his administration take responsibilities both in the national and in the international context, and it's worth to keep their company part of the way.
Que cela mérite bien de faire au moins un bout de chemin avec eux.
In this context, how would you describe the nuclear issue?
Vous savez, j'ai passé 10 ans de ma vie.
You know, I have spent 10 years of my professional life, although it was a long time ago, as the finance director of the Commissariat of the Atomic Energy of France, and I to office in 1979, the same year the Islamic Revolution took place. Therefore, I know all about the deals between Iran and France before the revolution regarding the establishment on civil nuclear industry. This is not a fantasy that Iran, as we know it today, is pursuing. Iran, like many other countries, needs to do what we call diversifying its sources of energy. Well, using nuclear energy for peaceful purposes is therefore a completely reasonable ambition for a country as big as Iran, and considering its technical advancements. We should pay attention that Iran is a signatory to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, or the NPT, and all it needs to do is to guarantee to the international community that its activities are within this framework, which is now the topic being discussed in the Geneva process. Your foreign minister, Mr. Zarif, recalls that in 2005, when he was on the Iranian negotiating team, there was a chance to solve the problems, and it was not used. The opportunity is here now, and these opportunities do not come back often. As far as the nuclear issue goes, what's important is transparency, and trust is also an important factor, as well as transparency. And the IAEA wants to guarantee that there will be no diversion from civil to military use of nuclear energy. And hopefully, by the 20th of July, this will be achieved in a way that will no longer be any questions. I would like to repeat that, in my opinion, Iran has every right, considering where it stands, to use nuclear energy for peaceful purposes. A short while ago, France was a candidate to build a nuclear plant in Abu Dhabi, but we lost a bit to the Koreans who will now start building this plant. There is absolutely no difference between Abu Dhabi and Iran. There is no way we could treat these two countries differently. What we need is international relations to be sincere, real, and everything to be transparent.
Engagement réel et que la transparence, comme je vous l'ai dit, soit au rendez-vous.